The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Now, if you're a longtime listener of either my radio show or this podcast, you know I'm not the most religious person in the world, and you may have done a double take when you saw that I have an actual Christian pastor on today, but we're not here to talk about Jesus or really even religion in a traditional manner. We're here to talk about the problem of race within the church, and make no mistake about it, there is a problem. Now, I can't think of many places that are less diverse than the church in 2022. Obviously, there are some exceptions, but for many churches, especially here in the South, it's not a diverse atmosphere at all. Now, that's in no fault of black people or any other racial minority, as they were not allowed to worship in white churches back in the day. So they started their own. That's understandable. However, predominantly white churches have done an awful job diversifying their congregation. And what's really wild is that very few people are talking about that. Well, my guest today is talking about it. He even wrote a book about it. My guest today is Pastor John Siebling, the founder and senior pastor of the Life Church in Memphis, Tennessee. John is one of the few white pastors that I can think of that presides over a congregation that is actually diverse. John's book, which he co-wrote with his friend, an African-American pastor by the name of Wayne Francis, is called God and Race, and it looks at racial segregation within the church. So that's what we're talking about today. Let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo Giddy. Live.
Yeah. What's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 64 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, Pastor John Siebling, the founding and senior pastor of the Life Church in Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome in.
Let's go. Thanks for having me.
Man, thanks for being here. Just first off, just so you know, I'm not a very religious person, but we do talk a lot about race on this podcast. It's definitely a reoccurring issue. And when I really thought about it, like one of the most segregated places in our society, it's still to this day is the church. It's very segregated, but you found a way. Life Church is very diverse, correct? And you've recently written a book with your partner, Wayne Francis, called God and Race, correct?
Yes. Memphis, Tennessee is where I am. Obviously a hotbed of racism in the past. Yeah. Dr. King was assassinated here. And so we started our church about 25 years ago. And listen, let me clarify. I am not a very religious person either. Can I just say that? However, we've tried to build a church for people, right, that people can connect to. And so one of our goals in building the church was to build a diverse church. Memphis is 68% black and so 30% white and, you know, then Hispanic and other. And so that's what we wanted the church to look like. We wanted the church to look like our city. And my friend Wayne Francis up in New York has done the same thing. And now he's merged his church in with ours. And yeah, we wrote this book. And I think what's unique about the book is that it's not just a white man talking about racism or racial reconciliation or a black man talking about it, but together, we're diving into this big subject, and man, it's a big one.
It definitely is. So let's start with the church. Why do you think that churches are still very segregated to this day?
I mean, I think it goes back like historically, right? I mean, sad to say there is a black church because the white church back in the day didn't want black people in church.
Right.
I mean, that's bottom line. We talk about it in the book. So I think, you know, there's all kind of issues with that and sin and hatred and racism and all stuff that is not, you know, is not in the Bible. Right. So, you know, it's taken years to bring kind of some sense of unity back and some sense of reconciliation back. And so, you know, I'm thankful for the churches that have gone before us that have done this. But, you know, I look at it on Sunday morning. And I don't see that. I see diversity, right? Our church looks like Memphis. And I think that's the goal. You know, when it comes to church and diversity, you know, like you could be in Boise, Idaho, and it's 93% white, right? So it's not like you're trying to build a church that looks like Memphis in Boise, but
right.
The goal is you want a church that looks like the community, because then you have the ability to talk to the community. When you're in a city like Memphis and you're 68% black and 30% white, and you have an all white church, I think that's more of a subculture of the culture, and it's very difficult to engage with the culture when you don't look like the community.
It also feels like a lot of I don't want to say I guess white churches or predominantly white churches tend to take a more conservative view on race in particular. I don't want to get into other politics, but it does seem like a lot of white churches seem to take a very conservative view on race. And why is that? Or why do you think that is?
I think it's about fear. Fear takes on all sorts of versions, right? I mean, fear can be aggressive. Fear can be, fear of the unknown, fear of saying the wrong thing, fear of being rejected. I think, let's be honest, I think sometimes it's a cultural clash. Black churches have a different culture. White churches have, so sometimes it's like, well, we're just used to our whiteness. We're just used to our blackness. And so when you get into a church that is diverse, though, there's something there that's different, because let me just say it this way. We were created to function within diverse environments. It's just a part of who we are. And so when you can get into an environment that's more diverse, it's just more authentic. It's more like real life. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying. And, I'm a white man. You're a white man. As a white man, what is the number one piece of advice that you like to give to other white people when it comes to listening about race or looking at it in a different way that you've never had to look at it before?
Number one piece of advice is build a friendship with a black person.
Mm, I love
friendship,
it.
Relationship. That's the number one thing. Like a coworker, someone you go to church with, a neighbor, like, hey, could we grab lunch sometime? And, and then when you have lunch, you don't pull out your list of questions and start, you don't go deep, right? The first moment. Build that bridge and build that relationship, but get to know them. I tell you, I lived in Africa for 3 years, so I was the minority, and still to this day have some amazing relationships. But when we started our church 25 years ago, the first thing I did was I started to build a relationship with a young guy that was coming to our church that was just out of college, a black guy who was raised in the South. And I'd go to lunch. We'd go to lunch once a month, every other week. And I just learned about him. I learned about his story. I heard things from him that I never had heard before, how he was raised, how he had been mistreated, different experiences that he had. And so I feel like I learned so much in that relationship. Life moves at the speed of relationship. To me, that's a motto. Life moves at the speed of relationship. So if all your friends are the same color as you, it's going to be really hard for you to grow in your understanding of race, racial reconciliation, racism, et cetera. So start with a friend. Start by building the friendship.
And that's something that I think white people don't stress. When I grew up, my parents weren't like, why are all your friends white? No one ever questions that. We don't have to learn how to, as white people in America, we don't have to learn how to move in other spaces. We just have to be in this one. And we think everybody has to be in this one as well. But that's not the case at all. And I love that piece of advice, because had I not, made diverse friends, I never probably would have opened my mind, opened my ears, my mind, and then my heart, in order to make a change within myself of how I viewed race. Right.
Yeah. What's interesting is, what people say all the time about coming to our church. I wanted to be a part of a church where my kids were raised in a diverse environment. Mm. And I think that's so good and so smart. It's easy to listen to the radio, watch the news, look at the headlines online, and just kind of be discouraged about what's happening in our world. It's a whole nother thing when you say, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to take some steps, and I'm going to build some bridges, and I'm going to start to understand this concept a little bit. And that's the whole reason we wrote the book. We don't propose that this one book is going to change everything, but could it start people thinking a little different and building some relationships? I think that's our hope, is that people would open up their hearts, open their hands, and begin to, have conversations with people that are different.
And as, non-religious as I am, I can see how church could be a starting point for that, because everybody's coming there with one thing in common, right? And there's something there to build on.
And maybe we could say it another way. Church should be the starting point.
Yes.
we as Christians should lead the way in dealing with hate and dealing with prejudice and dealing with racism. That's how I feel. I mean, I feel responsible for it as a spiritual leader. If I'm going to do the work, you know, because I think my work primarily is in the hearts of people, right? So if I'm going to get down there and we're going to do the work in people's hearts, we're going to have to deal with this issue. This is an issue in our country. Racism is an issue. And it may not be your fault. You maybe you were raised by parents that were racist and they were making jokes. And you, so you got all that seed was sown in your heart. And it may not be your fault that that's how you were raised, but now you're responsible for you, right? So now you've got to work on those issues. And so we all need tools to help us do that. That's why we wrote the book.
You're the founder of your church. And what did you do differently that you would say other pastors or other church founders didn't do to achieve diversity in your church?
That's a great question. I think I made a decision. I was going to talk about it, as hard as it is to talk about, that I was just going to talk about it. I was going to say, let's open the Bible together. What does the Bible say about it? What does God think about this? I think it's, you know, it's hard to talk about things that are hard to talk about. So we made a decision at the beginning of church, when we started our church, that we were going to talk about things that other people said are taboo to talk about in the South, right? And so and this is one of them. And I think people appreciated it. And so I think it drew people in who were like, yeah, this is kind of crazy that we're not talking about this stuff. We're not praying about this stuff. So talk about it. We model it with our leadership in our church. That's probably what I'd say.
I really do like that answer. And you seem like the kind of person, this is what I always tell people when it comes to race, white people in particular, is that like, you've got to come to this conversation in a humble way, right? And you've got to come to it like, okay, I did not mean to offend you. That was not my, if I said something, if I, you know, committed a microaggression, I'm sorry. I'm going to atone for this. And I think most of the time, or a lot of the time, white people get defensive, like, no, I'm not racist. I'm not. No, just listen and learn something. And you seem like you have that kind of listen and learn something attitude, which I think goes a long way in race. And I'm glad that you're teaching it to other people, which I think is incredible.
Yeah, thank you. I think humility is important. Hearing somebody's story, you may disagree or you may cringe a little bit when you hear certain things, but it's okay. Just be humble. And I try to be. That's my goal. I want to be open hearted. I think I think there's been a lot of pain at the hands of white people in this country, and so I try to do everything I can to be a bridge builder.
Yeah, and we need more for sure in this country. The book is God and Race. I want you to do a quick synopsis of the book. I know you got to get out of here, but Hope, Heart, Household, and House of God. Can you give us just a brief description of each one of those things?
Say them again. I forgot what they are.
Hope, Heart, Household, and House of God.
Well, hope is easy, right? We need to have some sense of hope. Things can change. We can't give up. We can't quit. And so we're reaching forward. Heart has to do, that's the work. That's the hard work that we got to do, is down into the soil of our heart, because the Bible does say out of the heart flow the issues of life. And so that's when we get into some really, really pretty deep stuff, because we got to get some of that racism uprooted and pulled out of our heart. Household is a little bit more about your house, your home, your family. Who you're influencing. And then, of course, House of God has to do with church. Since Wayne and I are both pastors, and I like to say it, we're not theorists, right? We're not in a classroom somewhere. We're leading churches, with thousands of people. So we're practitioners. We got our hands into the soil of the earth. And a lot of pastors ask us about building diversity in their churches. So that whole final section is really for the church, House of God. So there it is.
The book is God and Race. It takes a lot of balls to do it, to be different. And I can tell that you're different from our conversation. I definitely appreciate you taking time out and writing the book. And thank you. Thank you for doing this. And thank you for the work you're doing.
Well, man, it's been an honor to be on here. And I can tell that you have the right heart. So hey, come to our church sometime. Make that drive across the state and come see us sometime.
I will definitely look you up next time I'm in Memphis, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even a 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, John Siebling. Make sure you check out the book that he co-wrote with his good friend, Wayne Francis. It is called God and Race. It is also available right now. All right. Make sure you're following me on all platforms, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse. Everything is at DolaWhite101, DolaWhite101. Don't forget, whatever platform you're listening on, make sure you follow or subscribe. I'm not sure the exact verbiage of what your platform calls it, but do that thing where you get notifications every time I drop a new episode. And speaking of new episodes, brand new episode drops first thing next Wednesday morning. My guest will be Rebecca Rowland, who wrote a book called The Art of Talking with Children. So if you have kids and you're not good at talking to them, which we could all use work in that area, let's be honest, make sure you tap in with me. Brand new episode next week. Thank you for listening. That's it. I'm done. I'm out.